I've learned that as a pastor or a teacher, you never tell the people that you're speaking to that you're going to be getting out early. But the message I have today is very short and to the point. I tried to make it longer because, you know, I like standing up here and talking. But the reality is it's very simple, and yet it's probably one of the most important things that I'll share with you. The text for today comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And I like to think that what I'm going to do today is answer the lifelong question, what is the meaning of life? Not the deeper philosophical, you know, why was I created, but the more of the now what question. Now that I'm here, what's my purpose? And so I just want to jump right into the text today, and then we'll draw out what it is that God wants us to hear today. So starting in Genesis 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now this is a covenant that God made with Abraham a long, long time ago, way back in, you know, Genesis, shortly after the creation. So what does it have to do with us? Well, if you look at in Galatians 3:29, it says that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So why is this covenant that God made with Abraham back right after creation pertinent to us today? It's because if we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, if we have a personal relationship with him, then the covenant God made with Abraham back in Genesis applies to us today. So the what now is we're here to be blessed and to be a blessing. We're here to be blessed and to be a blessing. And man, I think this fits right in line with where we've been, you know, building bridges and using our spiritual gifts and stepping out into areas of ministry that maybe aren't comfortable, that maybe we're not used to, but the reality is that we're all called. If we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we're all called to be blessed and to bless others. So the purpose of God's blessing is to be a blessing to others. Jesus told the story of a selfish rich man in Luke. It says, then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then in Luke 12, he says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We've been given much. Is our spiritual life, is our relationship with Jesus like that rich man? Do we just store it up for ourselves? Are we concerned with our own spiritual growth and making sure things are good, you know, in our little bubble? Because the reality is that's only half of the blessing. That's only half of the covenant. God wants us to be blessed. Don't get me wrong. That's part of it. But out of that blessing, out of that abundance, we're called to share that blessing. We're called to be a blessing to other people. If your life was demanded for you today, would that blessing of God's covenant with you be evident in the people in your life? Not just your family, but your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. You know, the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, are they blessed because of your life and because of the blessing that God has given you? We are a nation who has been blessed, and we're called to be a blessing to others. This is accomplished by giving our time, our talent, and our treasures. We do this through prayer. Do you pray for other people? Do you practice the words of Paul, praying without ceasing? When you see others walking down the street or in the supermarket, do you think, man, I wonder how their life's going. Maybe I should ask God to bless them. I didn't used to do that, and I think I've shared this story with you before, but it was so impactful in my life that I want to share it again. I was in Colorado for one of my face-to-face trips for my master's program, and every morning we would wake up and stare at the mountains. And we would just talk about how beautiful God's creation was and how awesome the view was. And we couldn't believe how blessed we were to get up every morning and stare at Pike's Peak. And one day we had a free day, and so me and a few others went running down at the foothills in Colorado Springs. We got done, and we went to a grocery store because one of the people wanted to get some snacks, and I was waiting in the car with another pastor from Haviland, and we were just sitting there talking, and we were noticing the part of the town we were in wasn't that great, and we were noticing a lot of broken people. I mean, you could just tell that the lives that they were living were not wholesome. They didn't have joy on their faces. They all looked broken and just down and out on their luck. And all of a sudden, at once, God said, "I created them too. You're sitting here staring at this mountain, and you're in awe. And yet, my greatest creation, the only thing that I said was very good, that I created in my image, is walking right in front of you." And in that moment, I thought, man, why am I not celebrating this creation? And that's what this covenant is all about. It's about being aware that other human beings are created in God's image, and He desires that all should come to know Him. And sometimes that means we have to take our part in that plan by being a blessing to them. So prayer. Also our finances, our resources, our time. Basically anything that we have that can be used isn't ours to begin with. We talked a little bit about that in our Sunday school class this morning, but the reality is the ability to use our hands to make a living is a blessing from God. The ability to learn a trade by using our minds is a blessing from God. God created us and created everything that we do and say and are. And so how do we give that back to Him to be used? In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And a lot of people use that text to preach about tithing, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's about everything that we can give. If we can't do it cheerfully, God doesn't want us to do it at all. We are to look at it as an act of worship. We are blessed, and so we want to bless other people. I could even ask, why are you here this morning? Are you here to grow your spiritual life so that you can leave and bless others? Do you take the sign on the back of our church sign seriously when you leave here? Do you see yourself as going into the mission field? Or do you come just because this is what you've always done on Sunday morning? Why are you here this morning? What now? That's the question we ought to be asking ourselves. Are we here because we want to grow our relationship with Jesus Christ? Not for our own benefit, because that's a natural occurrence. If you desire to grow your relationship with Christ, you will be blessed. But out of that blessing, will you choose to bless others? Will you see the world as a mission field? Will you see yourself as a missionary? Will you live a missional life? And then our time and our talents. Again, this goes into everything that we've been given. But Matthew 20, verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Our example is Jesus. He could have come as a ruler. He could have come as a king, but instead He came as a servant to model the kind of life that He desires for us to live. To lay down our own lives and our own desires and the things that we want in this world most so that we can serve others and put them before us. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, when do we enjoy the things that we have, our stuff, the most? When we're doing them with other people. When we're enjoying it with a community and we are sharing that joy. You know, if we just had a bunch of stuff and all we did was sit there and look at it and go out and stare at our stuff and say, man, I have a lot of nice stuff. Wouldn't be very enjoyable. It's when we share that with other people and we partake in that joy together that we're most blessed, and when they're most blessed as well. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Give yourselves fully to the Lord. We just sang that this morning. I don't know if you realize that or not. I don't know if you knew that you were agreeing together to give yourself fully to the Lord, but we sang that. We sang, "Your will above all else. In my heart and my soul, I give you control." Were we singing the truth, or were we just singing lies? Do you truly give control to God in your life, in your heart and your soul? Are you open to the movements and the leadings of the Spirit Are you open to being a blessing to other people? Not letting the covenant stop with just you being blessed, but getting outside of yourself and blessing other people. I want to close with practical application. How to be a blessing. The reason this sermon is called Bells is because that's the acronym for the practical way to bless other people. This is something that a lot of churches have used. Actually, a lot of Friends churches are starting to adopt this acronym, and it's just super simple. And this is why I think it's okay to have the message be this short this morning, because the reality is it's not about hearing this stuff. It's about getting out there and doing it. And so the B of Bell stands for bless at least 3 people each week. 7 days to bless 3 people. I think that's pretty fair. This can be manifest in different ways. You can simply send someone an email. Offer them a note of encouragement. Maybe you mow your neighbor's lawn or babysit for a single mom. Give them a small gift. Maybe it's just smiling at someone that doesn't have a smile on their face. Maybe it's asking the cashier how you can pray for them today. Have you ever done that? You should see the look on some people's faces when you just say, "How can I pray for you today?" I bet you couldn't do it to more than 10 people without somebody breaking down in tears, because no one's ever offered to do that for them before. The E in Bell stands for eat with at least 3 people each week. The importance of sharing a meal with someone cannot be expressed in words. It is huge. That is how the early church built relationships with one another over the breaking of bread. So eat with a person who is a believer, a person who is not a professing Christian, and then one other person from either category. The L is listen to the promptings of God in our lives. Commit to specific times of solitude for active listening to God. So this means engaging your relationship with God one-on-one with Him in prayer, in Scripture, more than just on Sunday morning. Set aside times to say, you know what? I spend time watching TV. I spend time talking to my friends. I spend time doing this, that, and the other. I'm going to spend time with God. It doesn't have to be a legalistic thing, but it's a relationship thing. Just like we desire all these other things in our life, we should desire a growing relationship with God. And as you start to do that more, your hunger and thirst for that will increase. The second L stands for learn from the Gospels each week. If you've never read the entire Bible, this is a great time to start. And I would encourage you, no matter where you're at in Scripture, to get into the Gospels. If you have a Bible that has the little middle piece, that has all these little abbreviations, what that is that tells you other areas in the Scriptures that those texts apply to. And a lot of times you can find ties to the Gospels. Everything in Scripture points to Jesus. So it's important for us to have a lesson from the life of Jesus Himself at least once a week. And then the S is to be sent. It's a commitment to consciously live out the missional life. It's a commitment to take the sign on our church sign seriously. That when we leave worship, we are now entering the mission field. We're on the front lines of the spiritual battle that's happening in the world. That we're not just here because it's what we've always done on Sunday morning, but that we're here to prepare ourselves for the real work that's out there. It's clear in Scripture that the fields are ripe for harvest and the workers are few. We've got a room full of able-bodied workers. When you leave here, is that how you see yourself? Is that how you see your life? Or do you leave and quickly forget the things that God spoke to you and go on with the normal things? Is it that easy to compartmentalize your life? So what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What now? God wants to bless us so that we can bless others. It's that simple. We have a relationship with Jesus. We are heirs to the covenant of Abraham. He promises to bless us, and He promises to bless others through us if we are obedient and willing and open to being used by Him. And I think that we are. And I'm excited to see how that plays out. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the challenge. Lord, for reminding us that covenant that you made with Abraham wasn't just something that happened a long time ago that doesn't apply to us now. Lord, but it is very, very important and very vital to the life and the relationship we have with you. Lord, we're not called to just be bumps on a log. We're not called to just be bystanders in the spiritual life, but we're called to be active participants, Lord, to continually grow our relationship with you so that we can be a blessing to other people. And Lord, I pray that as we seek you out, as we study our scriptures, as we pray, as we interact with you on a daily basis, looking for the ways that you bless us, that you would open more and more doors for us to be a blessing to other people. And Lord, while this bells thing isn't necessarily outlined in scripture just like that, the truth is that we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and this is just one practical way to do that, Lord. And I pray that that we can be creative, that if this isn't something that fits with our personality, it doesn't fit with our schedule, that we would find other ways to be a blessing to someone, that we would look and ask ourselves, how did we participate with Jesus today? And that we would be able to answer that and give you praise and glory. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.